Blog Talk Radio.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitation. I'm picking up
good vibrations. She's my excitation. Good vibrations.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Positive Living Vibrations. I don't know where you are right now, but the sun is visiting us in here in Vancouver, BC, and it is a very welcome sight, as it does lift up everybody's mood. And moods and disorders are what we're going to be talking about today. But before I get to that, I would like to announce that next week is my first anniversary with Authentic You Radio. It has been a year that has been both enlightening and encouraging and inspiring to me. And that is why I'm writing a book on the wonderful people I've interviewed. I'm going to be speaking from how they've changed my life, and I know the lives that they've changed of others, and how gifted we are to have such people at our touch, and the avenue of being able to bring people on the show so that they may serve you and helping you move forward and find clarity and understanding in your own life. I wish to thank my producer, Michelle Arbeau, for seeing the possibilities in me and in her belief in all of her hosts. We are very, very lucky to have such gifted people under this umbrella, and you really should take some time sometime to pop into the site and have a look at all the other wonderful guests, the hosts that we have under the umbrella of Authentic You Media. But today, we are in a very, very serious topic. The disorders of the brain, what are they really? And are we in understanding of how to treat them? I find today that far too many doctors like to slap a label on something and shove a pill down someone's throat. It seems to me that everybody has this disorder of some kind. OCD, ADD, migraine, SAD, bipolar, even schizophrenia. These were things that were hardly ever known in the past, but now every second person seems to have something wrong with them. Drugs are not the cure for it, folks, nor is the label, nor is the way we treat people with so-called disorders. We need to understand what the real issue is. I have two children with ADD, and my ex had it too. This made for chaos in my family, and what seemed to be a lot of nagging coming from Mum was simply me trying to get some focus of three people with ADD to follow through on something, and it was certainly challenging. I was told to put my kids on Ritalin, but I refused to do so. My understanding was if you know that you have this, that the schools should learn, teach their teachers in how to actually interact with these children better, instead of, you know, one size fits all in teaching and one size fits all in everything else. The approach to teaching them didn't make sense in the way that it was happening, but I think more and more of that is changing today. I have fibromyalgia, and I have suffered from SADs, and anxiety is something that runs very rampant through our family. Even though I am a positive thinker and choose to live that way, my body goes into anxiety attacks. But I choose to overcome it by being active as I can, and even if it is in a small way, doing something that is positive, especially in paying it forward. But sometimes it does rule my life, and it leaves me to say, you know, not that I'm a victim of the disease, but a victim of the issue. And doesn't matter how much the positive attitude is there, sometimes that body just has more of a volume and speaks to me louder than I do. So after speaking with Heidi Hulk, our guest today, I gained a better perspective on the issue, and it has given me a great deal of hope that I do not have to be a victim of this disorder for the rest of my life, which pleases me considerably. Allergies are known to affect more than just the body, associated with symptoms of neuropsychology disorders, including ADD, ADHD, epilepsy, migraines, anxiety, depressions, SAD, bipolar, and symptoms of Parkinson's and schizophrenia. That was a mouthful there, folks. Look at all of those things, and I'm sure that someone in our family has sufferings of one of those things, even if it's only the migraines. These symptoms are so long that it's scary. I have all of this information posted on my site at choosepositiveliving.com. They are all listed there, plus an article by Heidi and somebody on OCD, myself on SADS, so there's a better understanding of the magnitude of what we're addressing here, because we will not be able to cover all of that on the show today. So let's bring this courageous woman, Heidi Hoag, who has overcome her own issues with a very severe stuttering problem since the age of 3. And at 13, she began having mild seizures about once a year. She was misdiagnosed as panic attacks. She became disabled, bedbound, and with very severe multiple seizures, having an estimated 40,000 to 50,000 tonic-clonic seizures in a 27-year period. Wow, that's a lot. Heidi became drug therapy for seizure control, unsuccessful attempts with 12 different drugs and numerous combinations of multiple drugs followed the next 20 years. She became bedridden with massive seizures, and she decided to take full control of her own healing and began self-therapy by studying, and has now received third-degree Reiki training with teaching, self-treating herself with Reiki. She started with DSNM, which will further she'll tell us all about that, to further gain skills for self-treatment in natural medicine. And for the close to 10 years now, she has been progressively establishing a customized program of rehabilitation and healing through natural medicine. And as of 2007, she became fully seizure-controlled with no symptoms of bipolar or Tourette syndrome. That is quite a feat when you consider the medical society just kept experimenting with drugs on her and writing her off. She took control and ownership of her own life, and she's here today to tell us how she can help us with ours. So, to hear about Heidi, let's bring her on the show. Hello, Heidi. How are you today, dear?
Hi, Sarah. It is such a pleasure to be here, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate this opportunity to share what I've experienced.
And that's quite a journey that you've had. And, you know, they say God doesn't give us more than we can handle, but, you know, sometimes you kind of look up at God and say, that's enough. You've had quite a number of years there of, I can imagine, the seizures. That many seizures over 27 years has been quite something hard to live with. So, you know, as I said in your article, you've covered a lot of background as to the things that you went through. But, you know, due to time today, please tell people a little bit about it, but and also your turning point that made you decide to actually take control over your own life. And then we will go into the actual disorders and what we can do with them.
Yes, thank you very much. I think... First of all, let me say your introduction was so poignant. It was so timely and so well expressed. Able to be right in there with you as you were describing your own experiences. I shared a lot of what I hear you describing, and as you had earlier gone through the kind of the background of what I had dealt with, it was probably the pinnacle of the change was in 2001 when I had successfully adapted my lifestyle to accommodate the illness. And because I couldn't speak and I stuttered so terribly, so severely, and I had the seizures so frequently and with no real rhyme or reason, or I couldn't predict them, I had been able to allow myself to have a very comfortable job as a CAD draftsman in a cubicle all alone, so that if I did have seizures, I could accommodate them as discreetly as possible by running out the car, or I didn't have to talk on the phone if I didn't have, I didn't have to speak. So I could live through that, make and earn money for my 3 children as a single mother. So to get back to it, that one day in 2001, I was just working away and collapsed with 12 seizures before they could get me to the hospital. And, of course, they did the testing and all of, you know, everything came back normal. They kept me overnight, medicated me, sent me home. 2 weeks later, the very same thing happened, ironically, when I was waiting in line to see my neurologist, and another 12 seizures before they could get me across the street to the hospital. So, again, they medicated me, sent me home. And in that next 2 to 3 months, I guess, of trying to heal, it just progressively got worse to a point to where I feel, as I look back, I know I had near-death, near-fatal seizures because they, I had, you know, the out-of-body experiences and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, going into the tunnel, the very classic experiences of near-death. But every time I came back, it seemed like I would come back in a more debilitated situation, worse and worse, to the point to where I had lost everything. You know, I had lost my job. I had lost my ability to drive. I had lost my ability to take care of my 3 children. They had to go to other family members to be cared for. I had to sell my house. I had to sell everything I had because I couldn't care for a house because I couldn't have a job. Having no job, I then lost health insurance, had no way of paying for any kind of medical care I could get, to the point where I was just being cared for by family, and I became suicidal. Very, you know, I mean, it's a very desperate situation to be in, and but I think having the near-death experiences were the gift that I needed to keep on going because I seemed to be able to get through with a knowledge that there has got to be a reason. This is not futile. I was not brought back this many times to end my life. That was not happening. And so I remember one particular day that I was so distraught and just didn't know what to do, and I had seizures so severe I could not even walk. I couldn't even get out of bed. But I remember kind of rolling myself out of bed and crawling to the bathroom as I grabbed 5 or 6, I don't know how many bottles of medication, just so much medication on my bed stand that was not doing me any good. And I remember, you know, I can take these, or I can get rid of them and save myself. So that's what mm-hmm. I did. And I rolled myself along with the drugs to the bathroom just a few short feet away and disposed of them. And that's when I began my healing. And I came back and I went to, you know, I began praying. That's all I could do was just simply begin praying. And went into a 3-day sleep. And when I came out of that 3-day sleep, I didn't remember what had happened that time, but I did know that I had strength. I had strength that I didn't have before, and I had a significant other. And I asked him, I said, can you just take me to Barnes & Noble, and I want to begin to read. And through that process, I could tell this is what I've got to do. I've got to take responsibility for my illness, because it's no one else's responsibility for me
right.
to get well. It's not the doctor's responsibility. This is my responsibility. It's my life. It's for me to do and to take control of.
And bravo. Bravo that you did. You took ownership, but first you had to place value upon your life and not just hand yourself over to someone else's dictatorship of it. And you took ownership of your life by placing value upon yourself and fighting back for that. So bravo. Bravo.
You said that well. We went to Barnes & Noble, and I got books, and I came home, and I just began to, you know, between seizures, whenever I could read, I just read. And oftentimes I didn't understand what I was reading, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter. The reading itself was so therapeutic, and I just simply began reading, and I began learning about my my body, I begin to learn about my symptoms, and I begin, it began to be a game. It began to be a challenge as to solve the mystery of what was going on, because test results were telling us nothing. And I just wasn't responding to medication, and I knew there had to be some reason why I wasn't responding to medication. So as I read and I read and I read and I read, I began to form a hypothesis that had not been talked about before. And the hypothesis was that my brain feels allergic.
Mm-hmm.
And there had never been written any books written about cerebral allergies before. But it was some years later, after I went through all of this process of what worked and what didn't and all of these things that I tried, that I was able to actually coin or find the term cerebral allergy. And that's what was wrong. I didn't know it until many years later as I tried many things. But everything I tried made it better. So through a 7-year period, I went through diet, herbs, energy healing, all the different things. You know, I covered the whole gamut of natural healing and applied it to myself. And everything I tried did progressively get better. But I got to a point where I was down to from about, 10 or 12 seizures a day to about 3 a week. And although that was wonderful, I wanted to be able to drive. I didn't want to even be housebound because I had those 3 seizures a week.
Right.
You know, that wasn't still enough. And so I decided to myself, I was going to just simply have to go to school to bring this forward, because I had exhausted Google. I didn't know, and you can only Google what you know to Google, and
yes.
I exhausted it. And I thought, I need some kind of structure. I need to become my own doctor. And so because I couldn't drive, I couldn't move, I was not mobile, I did online classes. And I began to structure my healing as a structured case study. And, I got to where I realized, I can do this. And everything I learned, I applied, and I kept getting better and better to a point to where I had gone through 4 years and gotten a bachelor's. And I thought, wow, I have a bachelor's degree in this. I could get a master's. So I got a master's. And then from that, by that time, I had licked it. I had licked it. And I thought, why stop here? I'm going for the dual doctorates. So
right.
I went ahead and got involved in that. And so now, after 11 years, I've been able to go through all the process, full healing from the diagnosis that I had of treatment-resistant epilepsy, bipolar, Tourette's syndrome, and fibromyalgia, and the stuttering. But the stuttering, the doctors considered to be a part of the Tourette's syndrome. And
right.
With the Tourette's, there was a certain amount of OCD, too, because sometimes there's a very fine line between multiple tics and OCD, because there are some tics that do resemble OCD and vice versa. So sometimes they have a hard time, diagnosing one from the other in some cases. But I had about 20 or 30 different tics from, at one time. From walking in rhythm to singing a particular song at a particular time. All of these are even considered tics. And it was just a whole gamut of neurological dysfunction. My brain was just a mess. So, and And interestingly, I observed very quickly that when I began to get the seizures under control, all of the other neurological dysfunctions began to also be under control. I didn't have to treat everything. I just treated the seizures. And when I treated the seizures, everything else disintegrated. All of the other seizures just disintegrated. I knew they were all related. And they were all related by one common link, and it was cerebral allergies. And that's what
now,
I had.
Isn't this a shame that doctors don't seem to acknowledge this? I mean, I'm sure at this point you could turn around and teach them. You know, it seems to be, I remember back in the days he'd go and see a doctor, and if he needed to give you half an hour, he would. And most doctors went into medicine because they cared. You know, they wanted to heal. You know, now you're lucky if you get 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And also, you know, they're so pressurized to kind of cure people, they don't listen. And very often, they're so bombarded. I mean, as I said at the top of the hour, things like ADD and OCD and all of those things, it's just like growing up, we really didn't hear of them. You know, it was a rare thing for people to have this. And now you see it's like second nature and everybody seems to have something. And then if they've got one thing, they end up having many of the symptoms of something else. You know, when you look at fibromyalgia, there's at least six things that go along with that.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, and nobody's ever said to me allergies. You know, nobody's, you know, doctors. I got told off by one of my doctors by refusing to go on the fibromyalgia drug because I happened to know that it actually caused the sockets in the teeth to dry up and cause dental problems. And when I told him that, he was not very happy with me and actually wrote in the form that I was not being cooperative. But we have to take ownership of our own lives. And if our doctors can't be the person to give us that, don't just stop there. I'm sure now if people Google you, they're going to find all this information there that wasn't there when you were busy Googling. So, you know, you've brought this information to light now and what we can do about it. So let's think about the food that we grew up in our generation. Anybody 50 under, we ate well. We ate good homegrown foods. We didn't eat processed stuff. The amount of chemicals that were in our food were virtually nil. And if you look at the diet today, it is chemical-based. GMO foods are just not real foods at all. And
right.
You look at how much processed stuff we have in everything. Chemical, chemical, chemical. And now you look at how many disorders are out there and how many people are suffering from so many things. I think it's about time that two and two was put together.
I can safely say that when you have a neurological disorder or a neuropsychiatric disorder that does not respond well to drugs, you are dealing with a brain allergy. And there's also times when even you do respond, but you will only respond well for a certain time, and then that drug becomes not effective anymore. That is also an indication of a cerebral allergy. So this is a very easy way to be able to tell if that's the way you want to go first. For me, I knew of no other way but to do the medication because that is what I knew, you know, at that time. Now, I would never use naturopathy as a last resort, ever, ever. Mm-hmm. I would always go to naturopathy as a first resort. For me now in my own life, I will say it's my only resort because it's what I choose. However, I think that's a very strong indicator if the audience listening out there are experiencing or have family members or are going through a very similar struggle. If when a medication becomes no longer effective look at brain allergies. Look at brain allergies. And what it will entail, it will entail detoxifying your body, and the body does this on its own. You, I mean, you don't have to have you don't have to have invasive forms of detoxing.
Right.
It's just a matter of some wonderful herbs, lots of good clean water, and cleaning up your diet, and going on a very pure 3-day juice diet for 3 days, just good organic juices of vegetables and fruits for 3 days. That is one of the
and
best.
And not processed store-bought juicing ones. The store-bought, because again, preservatives in there.
Exactly. It has to be very, very pure juices that you make, you know, but you can do a wonderful detox with, and there are a lot of good detoxification products out there to help the herbs and everything. So there are a lot of wonderful things that you can help, but it's that simple. And then going through and then cleaning up your diet, going through everything, throwing out everything that is in a box or a bag, or if it hasn't come from the earth, don't eat it. If you can't pronounce what's on the label, if you don't know what's on the label, don't eat it. It is faux food. It's not real. And it's probably something that will contribute to an allergic reaction. And, you know, this is the very element, the very basis for all of our autoimmune disorders. Fibromyalgia, this is a form of an autoimmune disorder. Because it's the body over-responding, overreacting to something that would normally be benign. But it's no longer benign because we're so bombarded with toxins just day after day, year after year. And this is what's happening to our health at present day.
I've often said, you know, 'cause I get fats during the winter, and generally around January is a bad month for me. You know, I can go into the new year with great optimism, and then suddenly depression hits me over the head. And you know, I know when I'm depressed that I need to be active. I need to be doing something, even if it's only a bit every day, you know, not just to go and give in. But it also is diet based. In the last few years, my bank balance has not been very good, and all the nutrients that I used to take, or, you know, the massage treatments that I used to take for my muscle spasms, I haven't been able to afford. And boy, have I seen a difference in the foods that I am able to eat due to cost, as opposed to want to eat, and how my fibromyalgia, and along with my SADS, my depression, the anxiety, the debilitating fatigue, you know, just unbelievable fatigue coming over you. And you're feeling that, you know, why am I tired? But I haven't done anything, but there it is. And I know that it is a great deal to do with the fact that I'm not on those nutrients that I used to take. And I had, you know, stress at that time as well, but I managed it because I was on the proper nutrients, because I was juicing every day. And I was, you know, putting food in my, I was cooking at home, as opposed to eating, you know, out or eating processed foods, and it made a huge big difference. Now, would you say that, you know, people with OCD or autism or any of these things, it's a neurological rewiring of the brain that is aggravated due to the foods and the lack of nutrients or the chemicals that they are given?
When our body, our brain normally runs with a particular type of neurotransmission referred to as neurotransmitters. And this is the excitable ones that give us that wonderful zest for life. But what we have in our diets now, we are exposed to excitotoxins. And these excitotoxins in the food simply add to the excitability of the normal neurological function. And our brains just simply become overwrought with excitability, literally excitability. It's toxic from excitability. And this is when you have the seizures, the mania, the the ADD, the autism, the different symptoms of overabundance of excitability. And what will the single most toxic thing that we can put in our bodies as far as excitotoxins go is MSG. And it is probably most, it probably accounts for, I would say, 90 to 95% of the overexcitability that would cause these symptoms. And that would be inclusive of you know, symptoms that you would experience in schizophrenia. It would be considered seizures, sudden dramatic erratic behavior, manic depressive symptoms. You'll find it with phobias and paranoia, irritability, tantrums, sudden bouts of crying or anger, inappropriate laughter even can also be an excitable symptom, aggression, migraines would be one.
And when you think about it, all of these things are on the increase. You know, all of these things today seem to be rampant. As I said, back in the day, fibromyalgia was something that was only really kind of labeled back in the end of the 90s. Schizophrenia was something that was around, but, you know, it was considered something hereditary, and people were immediately written off for it. And today, society still does write these people off. Sad disease was something that's considered new. When we look at all of these things that seem to be kind of new or newly labeled, it kind of coincides with the diet. And it's not just the chemicals that we eat, but it's also in the shampoos. Our skin being a very absorbed organ, and it takes in all of these chemicals from the creams that you use, the shampoos that you use, even the environment that you're in. We're constantly bombarded with this toxicity. And for people with serious things like the schizophrenia or, you know, autism and OCD or ADD, we're going to see that escalate so much more, aren't we? Because they had the problem in the first place, and now it's been even aggravated even more.
Absolutely. And you will find a lot of the additives in foods that you want to stay away from. And I have a list of about 30, you know, things that you want to stay away from. But those same additives used in used as preservatives in foods are also used as preservatives in deodorant, makeup, shampoo, conditioners, and even the drugs that we're taking. We're taking drugs not only that are toxic with the pharmaceuticals, but also the preservatives that are used to heighten the shelf life, the expiration date of the drugs.
Scary.
These preservatives are in, you know, immunizations. They're in anesthesia. They're anywhere that it's required for the shelf life of something to be preserved. You're going to have these same preservatives. Very similar.
So we really need to, as a society, stop looking at something that, you know, has a shelf life, or, you know, you go off to the store once a month and you just put it all in the larder and cook it up. We really need to get back to shopping locally, you know, even growing our own fruits and vegetables for those that can, you know, supporting your local butcher, your local stores, your local breads. I mean, the other thing is grains and wheat, which is, and I think the wheat, because of all the pesticides that they go over with that, All the berries that you get that have been covered in the pesticides. It's the berries themselves are all good for you. It's what they put on it. But also...
Exactly.
I've gone blank. It's when you can't eat wheat.
Right. That goes into the next...
Gluten-free. That's what I'm thinking.
I wanted to talk about, and it was very important, and I'm glad you brought it up, and that is the intolerance and the sensitivity to gluten. I cannot tell you why we as a society are beginning to be so sensitive to gluten, but we are. I can't explain that because that's always been in our grains. I don't know. It could be that we're tinkering with, you know, the GMOs to the point to where... is changing. I really don't know why we're so sensitive to gluten, but we are beginning as a civilization to be so highly sensitive to gluten. It's becoming almost a secondary poison to our body. Gluten, I can't emphasize how much one will need to look at gluten as being a culprit in dealing with this. There's so many options. You know, I'd hate to tell people not to eat bread, but wheat is just beginning to be a problem. And kids with ADD, ADHD, it's the first thing you want to look at is do they have a gluten intolerance? Now, celiac disease is what is oftentimes tested for. You can be negative with celiac disease and still have a gluten intolerance, and that would show up in an autoimmune response, not a digestive response. So, okay, so, and it can come through in these type of neurological symptoms. It can come through in autoimmune disorders. It can come up. It's highly, highly common in cases of fibromyalgia, that you will be gluten sensitive, gluten intolerant.
And of course, candida today is on the rampage as well, isn't it? And that's like a fungi.
And it's gluten intolerance.
Exactly.
It is an element of that. You know, you can't say that one causes the other. It's just that there's so many associations that you have to pay attention and look at the possibility of that being a trigger. Basically, we know it's autoimmune disorder. It's autoimmune response. But we have to look at what is triggering this, and what can we do to take out of our diets in order to give our immune system a rest, to just let it rest.
And now, if somebody is wanting to change their diet after hearing this, they've eaten a lot of the foods that they're unaware of, you know, that are causing this problem. And yes, they could go for reducing cleanse and start cleaning up their system. I had a show recently on the colon, liver, and kidneys, which was, you know, a wonderful one. Take care of those organs, you're taking care of everything else, because it detoxes everything. But is there a process that people should go through slowly? Will there be some side effects for people when they're going through this, you know, withdrawals from those chemicals? And kind of what choices should they be making to actually give foods to maybe their children with ADD or OCD that they can slowly introduce that is healthy for them? Or are there any nutrients that they can take to start changing that system over instead of doing it maybe too brashly?
Yes, I have two suggestions, very good suggestions. First of all, if you suspect that this is the situation, I would begin to self-educate in addition to getting with a good naturopathist who has some experience with cerebral allergies. Most of them will be aware of this. Now, there is a book that I would really like to recommend. The name of it is Brain Allergies, The Psychonutrient Suggestion. And it is written by William H. Philpott, MD, and Dwight Kalitra, PhD. Brain Allergies. You can get it on Amazon. Brain Allergies, the psychonutrient suggestion. They take you through the full gamut of diet and how to discern what the triggers are and how to begin just a step-by-step process of understanding cerebral allergies, understanding the symptoms, being able to recognize the symptoms, and to be able to actively take it in your own control and start doing something about it. And that's what I would begin to recommend. If today you don't have the book, go through and begin to decipher what in your kitchen may be causing this. And you can get on Google and get a list of preservatives that are disguised MSG. And mm-hmm. you can go through it and you can just see. And I can tell you when you do that, it's liberating, but at the same time, it's really scary when you realize things that you thought were so benign can be so toxic, and you just didn't realize it. You know, everything from chewing gum.
Exactly. And, you know, folks, you know, especially with kids or even yourself, you know, mm-hmm. and suddenly, what, I have to give that up? I can't have
right.
that anymore? Well, you know,
you know what?
You'll find an alternative.
The body is so incredibly adaptive that what happens is when we feed it junk, it learns to adapt to junk.
Yes.
It does the best it can for the time being. Now, sooner or later, it catches up, and this is how it catches up. But it tries really hard to adapt to what we give it. When you give it good food, it no longer is able to digest it. It rejects it. When you begin to eat good, you do not miss the bad.
No, you don't.
In fact, you don't. You don't. We eat, we crave what we know. The body craves what it knows. And listen to your body. If it's craving a food, it's probably allergic to it.
Oh, that's interesting. Yes. Now, a while ago with Jeanette DePatie, I had her coming on about, actually, no, it was Susan Skywalker I had coming on with using EFT to eliminate sugar hungers and
yes.
other things. So, you know, like, you know, going cold turkey, we're not going to eat this food anymore, we're going to eat this, might not go down well, start tossing out, start reintroducing. But, you know, things like the EFT, which is absolutely wonderful at speaking directly to the brain and changing that mindset. If you're a meditative people, you know, going into meditation, but also your verbalization around children. Oh, I just love this food. It tastes so good. Oh, and with this and with that. And if you're presenting it as something that you're so passionate about and you've given it such energy, the anticipation that it's going to be great will be received, as opposed to, oh, you can't eat that junk anymore, it's bad for you, eat this. And then the kids immediately look at it and go, nope, I'm going on a hunger strike. So it is something, a process to know that not only are you going to have to do it physically, but you're going to have to do it mentally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe even slowly, if you have a family that's been addicted to that junk, you know,
sure.
start eliminating bit by bit until the good stuff is overflowing from the bad stuff.
It is. Children will adapt in time. They eat what they know, and they form likes to what they know. And, you know, if you can just start step by step with one food, take one food away at the time and reintroduce something else. And slowly, you know, if you do one food a week that you take away and add something different, pretty soon, in a couple of months, you've cleaned up your whole lifestyle. You've done it.
And way you can do it is get rid of pop, right, from the word go.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And make that the first one. Introduce them to water, not flavored water with chemical flavors in it,
no.
but real water. Even introduce them to some good, healthy herbal teas.
Absolutely.
And, or, you know, make it for the summer, nice cold teas or tea lollipops, flavored tea lollipops, peppermint tea lollipops or something. You know, be inventive, be creative.
Very much.
But the one thing that we all have to do is with something that you did. You knew that if you carried on the way you were a goner.
Mm-hmm.
And your children would not have a mother.
Exactly.
You decided take ownership over your own life. You didn't look to somebody else and say, my problem is your problem, fix it. You looked at it and say, I cannot take this anymore, I'm going to try and fix it myself. And now you have this gift that you're giving to other people, the benefit of your learning, so that they may not have to go through the same process. So folks, when we're giving you these tips, it is for you to take ownership of your own health. When you decide to do that mentally, when you decide that you're going to place that value upon yourself, fight for your own life, and that you're going to make the changes necessary to have a better quality life, that choice in that decision is the first step to changing your life to good health.
Loving self, what you're saying is so, so important. It is a matter of coming to the point to where you value yourself to that extent that you're willing to do what you have to do to get well. Loving self, acceptance of self. I learned through the hardest, the darkest time that I went through, I began to stop fighting. I decided that it was the fighting was not getting me anywhere, that instead I needed to love and accept myself in my present state, and then try to listen to my body and learn what it was trying to tell me. The disease, I learned, was not the enemy. This disease was simply the only way that my body could communicate to me. The disease was the communication tool that my body had to tell me what it needed.
It was expressing its discord.
Once I began to embrace it, listen to it, become at peace with it, and then try to analyze, why is this happening? What do I need to learn? And what do I need to do to solve it? What do I need to give to my body that it's asking for? And that's when I began to heal. That's when it began, is when I listened to my body. And our body will tell us exactly what it needs, what we need to know. We just need to stop, listen to it, and not depend on somebody else to tell us what's going on. We know what's going on because our body is telling us every day.
Listen to its triggers. And, you know, if your body wants a day off because it's needing to revive and repair, give it that time. And, you know, it's not just about, you know, food and nutrients. It is about your mental lifestyle. It is about the people you have around you. It is about the value and the love that you have for yourself. And it is about your expectations on yourself, not somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
Never somebody else's. Is that you will do what you can do within your parameters. And then as you get well, I mean, look at you. Did you ever think that you would have gone back to school, getting all these doctorates?
I never thought I would be here.
The person that was given cure today instead of lying in your bed, just curling up and dying. I mean, it just shows it is possible when you decide to, right?
Correct. Absolutely. And I've been given gifts beyond what I could ever imagine or ever dream. I am so grateful, Sarah. I am so grateful for my life, and I'm so grateful that I went through what I did, because I couldn't have done what I do now in the same way that I do it without having had that experience. I'm so grateful.
And you were given it. You were given it because the gods knew that you could handle it, and that at some point you would make that choice. You know, lay down and die or get up and fight. And in your fighting, that you would find the solution to the problem that would benefit everyone else. So you were that warrior that went out there and fought the battle for everyone else's benefit. And on behalf of everyone out there, I thank you for doing so.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, would you like to tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, what kind of services you offer, and you know, your site, etc.?
I am a naturopath. I offer or some molecular nutrition, which is a really big word for using food as medicine, that would include supplements, nutrients, all, you know, the whole gamut of all the wonderful things that nature has to offer us. Herbal therapy. I have services such as iridology, energy healing. I run the whole gamut of naturopathy, probably about 25 different modalities. And I try to customize a particular protocol for that particular person. You're not a cookie cutter case with me. I listen to what combinations of conditions that you're dealing with, put it together, puzzle it together, pretty much go through the same process as I did myself, knowing a lot more than I did when I was, you know, when I was trying to do it through myself. But so we come up with a protocol that's comfortable for you, something that's going to fit into your lifestyle, something that you feel is practical and comfortable mm-hmm. for you. And we go through the process, step one, step two, step three, step four. And I can work with you on the phone. You don't have to be, you don't have to see me. We can work long distance. I have clients all over the United States and mostly in the United States. And so we can work that way. And I would like to offer a free 30-minute complimentary consultation. If you'd like to begin working with me, I would really value that, and I would like to offer that free service for a 30-minute consultation. A lot can be accomplished then, and so I can be contacted through my website, www.vitaepondera.com. I will spell it, V as in Victor, I-T-A-E, P as in Paul, O-N is in Nancy, D is in Derek, E-R-A.com. Vitae Pondera means life balanced. It's Latin for life balanced. I can be reached at Heidi at VitaePondera.com, H-E-I-D-I, at VitaePondera. And my business phone is 903-569-9913. And if you're interested in working with me, I would certainly value that and value your journey of healing, and we can see what we can do as a team.
Also, folks, as I said, we've got a couple of articles up there from Heidi, you know, experiences that she's had. It's under my articles on my site, www.choosepositiveliving.com. And also her show, it's still under this month and will be to the end of the month, and then it will be moved to archives. And you can listen to the show. You can pass it on to other people, plus her articles and information will be linked with her as well. So to get hold of her, to read all about her, to listen to the show again, everything is up there at choosepositiveliving.com. So if you didn't get that site, don't worry. It's right there on my site.
Thank you so much.
So there's one thing I'd just like to question again. Autism and schizophrenia. OCD to a point, are two very, very serious, or three very serious disorders. Schizophrenia can lead to violence. Autism, it can be very debilitating with people. Are you actually saying that we can cure or reduce the magnitude of these disorders with diet? Is it still not a kind of a rewiring in the brain, but we can certainly manage it through nutrition on a diet?
That's what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting this is what I would consider to be the first step to healing. Mm-hmm. Begin here, because this is going to cover probably a vast majority of neurological disorders. Once you get through this and you've done everything that you can with this approach, I think you will find that any kind of other medical intervention will be far, far more effective. Far more effective if it is possible, if it is necessary.
Right.
If it may not be necessary once you get through this. Once you give your brain about a year to heal and to revive and to be purged of the toxicity that has built up, I think you'll have a lot clearer way to know how to deal with it at that time. I think
so, of course, depending
on the
magnitude of what you've got, how long you've had it, you know, basically your age, that people have to understand that they do have to give this the time and the consistency and the commitment to this in order to reach the level for freedom that they wish to have. And that this isn't like a magic pill and isn't just kind of a change of diet and everything's going to be all right. It's just allow the body to go through its process with
exactly.
this. And it will heal in the time it's meant to heal in, but allow it the time.
Exactly. Remember, it took me 7 years to get to that point. But in that 7 years, I was getting better. And I was getting better at a rate that was very, very easily documented. And because I was getting better, I knew that what I was doing was the right thing. And I just kept on. And I kept on and I kept on until it was done. The deed was done. The deed was done.
And, of course, with that, you were in discovery. So you were trying various different things. So, you know, now that you've come through this and cured yourself, you know actually really how to kind of get to the point of it.
Absolutely. And you know, had I had help with it, I probably would have gotten well a lot faster.
Exactly.
But I was through this on my own. It was a one woman journey. And I didn't have doctors, I didn't have naturopaths, I didn't have that kind of direction. It was just something that it was just important that I go through this on my own. And it did. It would have probably been greatly the time that it took would have been greatly decreased had I had that help, but that just wasn't the way it was going to be with me. That just wasn't the way it was. And so
of course it's going to take longer.
Sure, yeah. But it the brain, our bodies are incredibly resilient. I think that's the bottom line. We underestimate how resilient our bodies are when they're given what they need to be healthy.
And also the cycle, isn't it? So in order to heal your body, your mind has to be cooperative. And then as your body gets well, your mind and your brain and your whole persona changes. So it's a cycle. Make the choice to start making the changes. You'll feel not only healthier in body, but healthier in mind. And your whole mental approach to your life will be a lot better as well. We've run out of time, my darling, but this is so absolutely wonderful information, and you certainly will be in the book, and I encourage everyone to read the articles and know more and to certainly follow up with you, because we need to end this cycle. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Sarah. I enjoyed it.
A great blessing, so thank you.
Thank you so very much.
Well, what a fantastic show. Really so much to learn here. We do not have to live with these disorders. We do not have to live with bad health. We do not have to put ourselves through this. We will be discussing at a later date OCD and ADD and things like this, and actually how to work with people who have this, the behavioral things, the expectations of them. That will come out later at another time. Next week, I actually have, as I said, my anniversary show. It's more of a service show. So next week is more about what services are available for coaches to help others while promoting their work, and a program that allows you to pay one fee and get access to over 250 lawyers in North America and Canada. So tune in more next week to find out how you can find a good coach. Coaches, tune in to find out how you can profile yourself while giving back. and serving your community. So please do tune in next week. Everybody have a wonderful week and a very happy Easter. No more of those chocolates. Okay, bye-bye.